Good morning. And what a beautiful morning it is as we come together to worship God and to be in community. Because during this whole week, if you're like me, you realize how important community really is. We wanted to only have one worship service today so we could be in community with each other, because as they've been saying on the news and all, it's stand together, and we're together, and we're thankful that you are here. We're thankful that some of you who are still not in your homes made the opportunity to come here and be with us, so that we can love on you and we can support you. And together, as Eddie says, we will all get through this. So we welcome you. We welcome those on Facebook who can't be with us. We are also recording this, and we will send out a link in our email so that people who couldn't be here can still worship with us in this community. Couple announcements we need you to know about. First off, I would like to take a couple points of personal privilege to use Robert's Rules of Order, which we follow so closely. The night of the really bad, when Missouri City was doing evacuations, our church, your church, became a staging place, a staging area. We did what our mayor asked us to do. We were not a shelter, we were a staging area as they rescued and evacuated people that came here, waiting to go to different shelters that were set up by the Red Cross in the city. I want to personally ask you, if you helped on either that night or that morning, please stand so we can recognize you. Cooking, serving. Go ahead now, have a seat. I would then like to do a special recognition of Matt, stand, Richard, stand, Calvert, oh sorry, Jim, stand. These three made it all happen. And so there you go. Now, somehow, and I'm not saying how, Mayor, my phone number, my cell number became public. Not only for Missouri City, but California, Atlanta, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island. As people called, I don't know where they got my cell, and no one would tell me where they found it. So, even though he isn't gonna like this, this is my payback to Mayor Alan Owen for making my cell number now public somewhere. Alan, would you stand? Don't sit down. First off, where was my cell number published? I figured. Second, I was receiving calls from God knows who, a lot from Sugar Land, Alan, and we helped them because our mayor and his team did such a phenomenal job. People who weren't in Missouri City realized they could find help through us. I have talked to friends in Katy, in Sugar Land, in Spring, and around, and I don't think any town, city, municipality was as organized and as responsive as Missouri City. And I think we need to thank Mayor Owens. Now, if you want Alan Owen's cell number, Yeah, but they weren't all supposed to have mine. There was one man, I don't know if he's here, is the guy from Sugarland here who kept calling me? He was the nicest man, and I told him he needed to be at church. Randall, are you here? Oh, I got his number. We'll call him. Speaking of hurricane, if you'll take your phone out. Matt, can we have the slide, or John Paul? Our way of staying in touch, we had two ways. We had text service, we had email. If you have not signed up for the text service, would you please, right now, text CONNECT to 281-907-9070. We do not abuse it. We do not send you a lot of texts, but it was a lifesaver for us to check on people during this. We knew where more people were because of that. Would you please sign up for the text service? Okay? Also, if you do not receive the email blast, please put on your Connect card. You want the email blast. Situations like this is the only way we can stay in touch and take care of you. So I know some of you don't want text. We don't use it a lot. We use it for information. If we need it for something else, we do another service, okay? So please do that. And while you have your phones out, go ahead and check into Facebook that you're here and that your staff is awesome. So put that in. We're at First Methodist Missouri City and our staff is awesome. So if you'll do that. A couple other things you gotta know. We're gonna go over 70 minutes. So if you got someplace to go, don't get up, you're here. We will have no evening activities this week. We decided that it is a week that we either be with just family or we help those around us who might not have been as fortunate. So we want you in the community or with your family rather than here in meetings and in whatnot. It is our goal to resume all our activities next week. Beginning with the worship services on Sunday and then Tuesday night Bible studies and all of that. Also, because school is out and we want our kids to return to some sort of normalcy, some sort of normalness, if you will, Leah has organized at least one play day on Tuesday. If you need information, Leah, if you'll stand and see Leah right afterwards, because if I give you information, I will be wrong. But Leah has it all, and I think she has emailed that out to parents. So if you have kids and you just want to come down and let them play with other kids, because it's a great opportunity. Also, just so you know, because of we decided to put our energies into relief and recovery. The golf tournament has been canceled and has been rescheduled for next year, September 29th, 2018. So put that down on your calendar. And, one more. I was in this fraternity, Lambda Chi Alpha. And Eddie, you're going to start receiving from Amazon Prime all sorts of stuff. Through the 5,000 emails went out from one of my fraternity brothers with the list of things we need and to send it here through Amazon Prime. He put the list on Amazon Prime of what we need. So Eddie, you'll start receiving that. Another one of my real close fraternity brothers and high school friends, church this morning is taking up an offering just for us. This is some church in Melbourne, Florida that has no clue what Missouri City is. But they're taking up an offering and they're going to start send a check to us and then a Lowe's cards and Home Depot cards. So while we're together in this community, we are not alone. We have people all around this country standing with us. And so if you feel alone, if you feel isolated, if you feel discouraged, you're in the right place. Because here's where we understand and feel and experience and taste the love and grace of God. Okay? I think that's it for all of that. Sorry I took so long. You should have a Connect card. We didn't have bulletins because we really didn't know what our plan was, what we were going to do. But if you have the Connect card, if you don't, the ushers will bring you one. On the back of the Connect card, there's an invitation for you to tell your story, to write your story. We're expanding that to write your story, or maybe for you to write down where you saw God at work in action during the last few days, during the last week, because we want to be able to share those stories. So we're going to ask you to fill that out during the prelude, and then when you come forward for the Eucharist, to just lay it on the altar, and we're going to gather those. Please make sure that we know you're here by filling your name out. If we don't have an active cell number, would you please leave that? Email, please leave us that. If it's changed, if you don't know whether we have it, just take a moment and fill that out. And so now we're going to allow Melissa to share the gift that God has given her and to allow us to come into the very presence of God.
Okay, so guys, oh wait, we got a few more. Come on, come on. So the last week or so, I've been thinking a lot about superheroes, okay? Now, I want you to look at this picture of some of these superheroes up here. This is like the biggest collection of superheroes in the history of ever. And I don't even know all of them, but that's a lot of superheroes. Now, we know that superheroes are not for real, right? We know that they're pretend, but we like what they do, right? Now, Lauren and Emily and I like to watch Supergirl on TV. Okay, so Supergirl, she's a regular old girl, right? But then when bad things start to happen, what does she do? She steps into action. She turns into this amazing, strong, fast woman that can stop bullets and stop bad things from happening altogether. She completely stops them, okay? Now, it's really cool what she does, but those things don't really happen, right? Now, she's a pretend superhero. But I tell you, we all probably have our own superheroes in our lives. Do y'all, anybody have their own superhero? Raise your hand. Now, I'm gonna share with you guys some of my for real superheroes, okay? Here's the first one. This is a picture of my mom and dad and me. And my parents are my superheroes because when I was a little baby, they adopted me and gave me a really awesome, awesome childhood. Okay, here's my second one. This is my cousin Renee. And Renee is my hero because after all the things she's gone through in her life, she always smiles, she always keeps her head up high and always has a great attitude. And here's another superhero, and he's gonna kill me for this. This is my husband, Andrew, the guy on the right. And last week during all the floods, he went out on a boat and rescued people from their homes that couldn't get out. Now, here's the difference, guys. These guys are real life superheroes. They don't stop the bad things from happening, do they? But they're there to help when those things happen, right? They're there to give us a hug, or they're there to put a Band-Aid on her knee, or maybe fix you a hot meal, right? They don't stop them, but they're always there to help. Now, here, lean close. I'm gonna tell you a secret. I think God is a lot like those real superheroes, okay? And over the last week, you may have asked your parents or even thought, why did God still let Hurricane Harvey happen? Or why did he let these floods happen and people lose everything that they had? Or even, why did he let you have to leave your home for all these days? And that's a really good question. But that's where God is like those regular real life superheroes, right? God cannot stop those bad things from happening, but he's there for us when they do. He's there to comfort us. He's there to listen to us. He's there to send people to us to help. And we've seen that all over the city in the last 10 days, haven't we? right? It's hard. It's really hard to understand this, guys. But just know, and when you are afraid and you are wondering and you are questioning, I want you to think of this psalm, okay? It's Psalm 56:3, and it says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in him. And that's what I want you guys to remember. And we need to remember that no matter how afraid we are or how confusing something is, he is always, always with us, okay? So pray with me, guys. Dear God, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for taking care of us.
Thank you for our family,
our friends,
our pets,
and this awesome church.
Amen. Okay, let's go, friends.
So, Leah, you're wrong. Batman does exist, because when I called somebody yesterday to help us, he answered the phone. Bat phone, this is Batman, may I help you? And he did. So, are all the kids, what are the kids doing?
We're going to the Ark and then we're coming back for communion.
Going to the Ark, that's a... Richard was prophetic when he named it the Ark. He's a prophet, he didn't know it. Let's pray. And now, God, may your word be proclaimed either through me or perhaps this morning in spite of me. Amen and amen. So we're in the middle of this sermon series, Six Words to Change Your Life. And the words, if you were paying attention, are no, yes, thanks, sorry, help, wow. So last week, we were supposed to do yes. We did no the first week. We were supposed to do yes last week, but because we didn't have a worship service on a Sunday, we did it on a Friday, and we didn't want to do yes. So I told Matt, well, I guess we can't do six words anymore because we only have 5 weeks, because the bishop will be here October 1st, and I'm not going to, you know, tell him what to preach. And I don't know if he could preach on wow anyhow. So I told Matt, I said, we got to change it from six words to 5 words. And so the 5 words are no, yes, thanks, sorry, and wow. And then Matt had to make a new slide because we didn't want to lie, six words to change your life. So Matt came up with 5 words to change your life. And so this morning, we're going to look at the word that Eddie was supposed to preach on. But you can blame Harvey on Eddie. And here's why. Eddie takes off to go for vacation. We had 4 deaths. Eddie wasn't supposed to be here last Sunday. We have a hurricane. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, so Eddie caused Harvey. So Eddie was supposed to preach, and I was supposed to be in Florida visiting my stepdad, but Harvey changed all that. And so we're going to do the word that we were supposed to do today, thanks. Thanks. And I thought about that this week. How can we preach thanks in the middle of what we are going through? And at first I thought, we'll just change the word. No one will know. We'll change it to help. That would have worked. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized, thanks is exactly what we need to hear. I mean, thanks can change your life. Because, well, we all know that thanks is polite and thanks is proper. And if you are like most parents, or if your parents were like my parents, right after you learn the word please, you learn the word thanks. Someone gives you something and you don't say thank you, you would get a wooden spoon on your knuckles, right? Anyone else? Just my mom. Thanks is what we do. And as followers of Jesus, thanks is how we live. I shared in the article that we sent out, did that go out Friday? Right? Went on Friday that Jill and I were on the rooftop Tuesday. We were planning to be up there for helicopter rescue if we needed it, but we didn't. And we're on the rooftop, and Jill takes this gorgeous picture of the skyline of Houston with sun, and it was just the most beautiful thing I had seen in a while. And when I was on the roof and looking at it, I had this strange feeling of giving thanks, because Jill and I had a lot to be thankful for. Because we didn't evacuate. We didn't have any damage. We pretty much made it through Harvey unscathed and untouched. Our streets would be flooded. We'd go out in the Jeep at 11 o'clock at night, have some fun running around the neighborhood, splashing up waves and causing havoc. And then by the next morning, the streets were dry. So we had reason to be thankful. And as I was on that roof, I could think about was the words that Paul wrote to a church. It was a new church. It was a church filled with new believers and people who didn't really understand what it meant to follow God. But he wrote these words. He said, "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give God thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give God thanks in every situation. Give God thanks in every circumstance. Now, what's interesting to me is in that scripture, there's the word, "This is God's will for you." The word "will" is actually, thelo. And thelo translates roughly, the idea of thelo from Greek to English is thelo is that, it's like God's best offer to his people. God is saying, "This is the best I can give you," right? And the thing about thelo, the will, what is implied in that is it can either be accepted or it can be rejected. So what Paul is saying to this young, struggling church is it is God's will for your life that you give thanks in all situations. And if you follow that, if you accept that will, then you are living the life God created you to live. And if you don't, if you choose to reject it, then you are moving farther away from God. It's as if Paul said, "Hey, church, say thanks, because it could change your life." Like I said, Jill and I had a lot to be thankful for. A lot of you had a lot to be thankful for. You might have evacuated, but you came home to a house. You might have evacuated, you might have lost things in your home, but you stayed together as a family. You didn't lose anyone. You have stuff to be thankful for. And you know, it's easy to give thanks when everything is going well. Paul says, give thanks in every circumstance. I don't know about you, but watching the news coverage, I was amazed. I was amazed because the people who lost everything, you know what they had in common? Whenever anyone talked to them, they gave thanks. I saw one lady, it was her 84th birthday, and she's in a shelter, and they have a mic in her face, and she just gave thanks. She lost her house. She lost everything in it. And she was living the words that Paul told us to live, to give thanks in every situation. And I begin to wonder, if I lost everything, if someone asked me while I was sitting in a shelter, unsure about what tomorrow would bring, I begin to wonder, would I be able to simply say, thank you? One of the highlights of this week was when I talked to Eddie, and those of you who don't know, Eddie had 14 inches. Eddie and Wanda had 14 inches in one house. And in the house they have yet to sell, it was in danger of flooding. And what amazed me about your pastor, Eddie, is I never heard him say, woe is me. He never said, why me? He simply said, I give thanks because I have my family and I have my church and I have my friends. That's what Paul meant. And I thought, well, what would give someone that kind of ability to say thanks? And so on Thursday, when I was finally the only one up here, and my phone wasn't ringing as much, Alan. I was sitting at my desk getting ready to work on this sermon. And I'm working on it, I'm thinking, how would I say thanks in the middle of all of this? And it hit me. There's another word we have to know to change our lives, right? So we went from six words, right? No, yes, thanks, sorry, help, wow, to five words, no, yes, thanks, sorry, wow. And now I just came up with a sixth word, but I only had 5 weeks, but the sixth word kind of fit with the thanks, so I called Matt, and I said, Matt, we have to change this sermon series back to six, because I got another word. I'm sure Matt rolled his eyes, gave a big sigh, and gave his passive-aggressive answer that he loves to give, well, you're the boss, man. And he made another slide. 6 words to change life. Now, what's the sixth word? Well, in order to find the sixth word, you got to go way back to the Hebrew prophet, a guy by the name of Habakkuk. Now, I wish I could give you a lot of information about Habakkuk, except we just don't know much. We know that he wrote it around 600 BC, so that's a very long time ago. Dave Cox wasn't even alive. And we know what the name means. Habakkuk means the wrestler or the embracer. And there's an old urban myth that Habakkuk brought food to Daniel when Daniel was in the lion's den. But I think that's just one of those things that sounded good, and so they made it up. We don't know much about the guy. We know that he was going through a difficult time because he opens his book by questioning God. God, how long do I have to endure all of this, whatever this was? It's a question that's been asked through the ages, right? I mean, the question of why God, how long God, and David asked it in the psalm. We have the psalm. Bam, 13. Bam, there it is. Job asked it in his book, chapter 19. Jeremiah, when he wrote the book of Lamentations, was all about asking it, why, how come, Why aren't you answering me? So Habakkuk was just following this trend. And God answered him, sort of, kind of. And God said, wait. Wait for my answer. Now, I know none of you are impatient. All of you like to wait. None of you count the items in the person, in the cart of the person ahead of you in HEB to make sure they only have 15, right? And so Habakkuk, well, he was much more patient than me. And he did what he was told to do. He waited. And he stood guard. And he waited for God to answer the question, why is this happening to me? And he waits. One chapter, two chapters. Finally, in the third chapter of Habakkuk's book, he realized he is not going to get the answer that he wanted, but instead he got something even better. Because rather than getting an answer to the why or the how long, you know what he received? He was surrounded. He was embraced by the power and presence of God. And when he didn't get the answer, but he felt God's presence, he fell to his knees and he humbled himself and he gave the absolute most beautiful verses in Scripture when he writes, though the fig tree doesn't blossom and there's no produce on the vine, though the olive crop withers and the fields don't provide food, though the sheep is cut off from the pen and there's no cattle in the stalls, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my deliverance. For the Lord God is my strength. He will set my feet like the deer. He will let me walk upon the heights. Now, the Common English and some others, they leave out the most important word that Habakkuk wrote. It's the sixth word that can change your life. It's the reason why Matt had to make that slide. You know, Matt, I never asked you, why don't you just go back to the original six? It might change again. We may go seven. It's a more holy number. It's the word they leave out. Here it is. Habakkuk writes this. This is a better translation. Though the fig tree doesn't bloom, there's no produce on the vine, though the olive crop withers, though the fields don't provide food, though the sheep is cut off from the pen, and there is no cattle in the stalls, nevertheless, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my deliverance. Sixth word, nevertheless. In fact, what I believe, unless you know and live that word, you cannot give thanks in all circumstances. Eddie calls, I have 14 inches of water in my house. Nevertheless, I will give thanks and rejoice in my God. Hero of my faith, hero of the faith is a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You might have heard of him. Bonhoeffer was a priest who had left Nazi Germany, and he finds out what's going on, and he goes back, and he stands up against Hitler. He gets arrested. He is thrown in prison in 1943. He is taken to a concentration camp, and in April of 1945, Bonhoeffer is put to death. But before he is put to death, in one of his letters that he writes from a prison, he writes these words. When I give thanks, I find the fullness and the richness of life. And the only way Bonhoeffer could write that, the only way Eddie could give thanks, the only way those folks in the shelter who have lost everything, the only way the Hackneys can give thanks who have still not been able to get back to their house, the only way the Dukes could give thanks who found 11 inches of water in their house is because they understood the nevertheless. Though there may be water in my house, though I might have lost everything, nevertheless, I will give thanks and I will rejoice in the Lord my God, my deliverer. See, that's the sixth word. Maybe that's the most important word because it allows us to give thanks in all situations. Look, I'm willing to bet that there's not a person in this room this past week didn't cry out to God in one form or another, why? How long? And when you do, you might have received an answer like Habakkuk, to wait. And when you waited, and you watched, and you were on guard, if you're like me, if you're like Jill, if you're like Eddie, you felt the powerful presence of God embracing you, surrounding you. And you might not have had an answer to why, but you learned, I learned, we learned, that who God is more important than knowing the answers to why. And who is God? Well, he's the creator of the universe. He's the one that put every star in the sky right where it was supposed to be. He's the one that knows every hair on your head. He's the one that knows when we stand up and when we sit down. And because of that God, we can rejoice and give thanks in all circumstances. Because, to quote Paul again, for I am convinced that nothing, not life, not death, not things present, not things to come, not cancer, not Harvey, can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Who is God? He is the one that invites us to this table. He is the one that on one night, when all hell was breaking loose around him, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and offered it. And said, take, eat, for this is my body broken for you. Do this and know, remember how much I love you. Who is this God? It's the same God who took a cup. Again, he gave thanks. And he offered it. He said, this is no longer just fruit of the vine. This is now my blood poured out for you, for many, for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this and know, remember that I died for you. And because of that, nothing can separate you from me. Who is this God? He's the same one that invites us to a table. Invites you to a table. Same one that calls us. The same one that loves us. Rejoice Give thanks in all circumstances. Because no matter what we go through, nevertheless, I will give thanks and I will rejoice. 6 words to change your life. No. Yes. Thanks. Nevertheless. Sorry. Wow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. May the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? Take care, God bless, and we'll see you next week.